Adonai, to him who is never affected by qualities of matter. Avikaraya, who does not undergo any material transformation. Namaha, obeisances, te, unto you, Prakritaya, to the prime mover of material nature. Cha, end. So this is a prayer of the Om Agyanati Mirandasya Adhanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Nivitam Dina Tasmi Shri Gurave Namaha. This is a prayer of the Nagapatnis to Lord Krishna. And that's the verse. Obeisances unto you, the absolute truth, who are the reservoir of all transcendental consciousness and potency, and the possessor of unlimited energies. Although completely free of material qualities and transformations, you are the prime mover of material nature. Repeat, everybody together. Obeisances unto you, the absolute truth, who are the reservoir of all transcendental consciousness and potency, and the possessor of unlimited energies. Although completely free of material qualities and transformations, you are the prime mover of material nature. Thank you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Those who consider themselves intellectual, philosophic, or rational should carefully note here that the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ocean of all knowledge and consciousness. Thus surrendering unto the Supreme Lord does not entail giving up the method of rationally comprehending reality. Rather, one merges into the ocean of rational, logical comprehension. The Supreme Lord is the perfection of all the sciences and all forms of knowledge, and only envious and trivial minds would deny this obvious fact. That's Jai. Very nice, Srila Prabhupada's disciples. I like the way that he mentioned here that if you join Krishna consciousness, you're not going to become just an airhead. It's rational and a comprehending reality. Very nice. So I would like to speak today. We're going to give it a little of the pastimes. You can't give Bhagavatam class without describing a little of the pastimes. You know, everybody's been talking about the Kaliya serpent and what happened. And I really love poetry. I want to share with you the descriptions of Kavi Karnapur on this pastime. It's beautiful. And then we're going to address the topics of the prayer of the Nagapatnis. You know, they called Krishna the absolute truth, the reservoir of all transcendental consciousness and potency, and the possessor of unlimited energies. So we're going to go through that. So the pastimes, I'm going to highlight it with Kavi Kanapuras. I hope I do just with a little bit that I can. So Kaliya. So this is Kaliya, the serpent. So this Kaliya serpent, he's end up in the lake because he lived in this island of all serpents, and they had to appease Garuda. They had the offerings for him every month. And what happened is that Kaliya, very puffed up and arrogant, he decided, you know, I'm going to eat the offering. It looks really good. Probably some very nice preparations, because they were, all the serpents were trying to keep their lives intact. And so Kaliya ate the offerings, and Garuda became furious. And Garuda, there's a description of Garuda whacking Kaliya with his wing and just knocking way off the corner somewhere. And Kaliya ran. He ran for his life, taking his wife and his kids with him. And because Solbari Rishi had an event with Garuda before, Garuda was by the Jamuna eating fish, and Solbari Rishi was meditating there, and he told Garuda not to eat the fish. And Garuda did not concur. He continued eating the fish, and consequently he was cursed by Solbari Rishi. And Solbari Rishi told him that if you ever come back here to eat, you will die. So that was one place where Kaliya knew the story, so it's one place where he could be safe. So that's how he took shelter in the Jamuna. And so Kaliya was this very black serpent, very fierce looking. And there's some descriptions of the kind of poison and a kind of a so this is in poetry form by Kavi Karnapur. It's really beautiful. So the burning venom of the great serpent Kaliya constantly heated and boiled the waters of the Jamuna. Jamuna Devi felt like she had a black ball of fire within her belly. So this is one little detail that, you know, I found interesting. Jamuna Devi, you know, the daughter of Surya Dev, she felt this black ball of fire within her belly. There were so many inauspicious signs when Kaliya took shelter in the Jamuna. There were the forceful, also description here, the forceful exhalation of fiery poison from the nostrils of Kaliya illuminated the Jamuna's waves with a crimson golden radiance. The beauty of the scene resembled the waves of the salt ocean glittering under the moonlight. So you imagine the Jamuna with the waves, and it was reddish. Crimson is like reddish. So the reddish shiny because of the poison coming from within. Going on, you know, Kaliya is there in the lake, and the cowherd boys were in the forest. And this day, Krishna had gone to the forest to tend the cows with the cowherd boys, but Balaram did not go. And so Krishna was there with his friends, and the cowherd boys, they felt, they sipped the water, they and the cows, they sipped the water of the Jamuna to quench their thirst. But they fell unconscious immediately. So when Krishna saw this, he was at first very worried. But and then quickly, he just gave them a sidelong glance and revived them. And the cowherd boys were so, you know, they were, I guess, used to this, you know, wonderful Krishna doing all those, you know, saving them from situations. He had saved them from the Agasura demon. So they had the memory. So, oh, this is just like when that happened. The Agasura demon, we were saved by Krishna. So, you know, they were very pleased. Um, Yeah, and it says, there's a sentence that the cowherd boys were delighted and looked lovingly at their dearest friend, Krishna. I like these sentences that I'm not able to construct myself, but they are beautiful. So at that time, Krishna decided to take action. And the description of him getting ready for action is just totally lovely. So Kavi Karnapura says like this. So Krishna climbed in that tall kadamba tree. That tall kadamba touched the clouds and kissed the sky with a desire to crush the pride of Kaliya. The incomparable and inconceivable Lord Krishna prepared himself for a fight. He gathered his locks of hair, retied his turban, tightened his belt, and clenched his lotus hand into a fist eager for victory. Krishna's tender body and slender waist displayed the prime of his joyful youth. Totally relaxed, Krishna glanced gently toward the cowherd boys and said, "Do not be afraid, my friends. My transcendental effulgence will dispel all misfortune. Just wait here and watch the cows." So this is how Krishna got ready to go into the Jamuna. And so he jumped in the water after this beautiful display of imagine, you know, that beautiful boy getting ready. It's just a little youth. And so he jumped in a Jamuna on the lake that with the crimson waters, and he starts splashing, and like a description is like an elephant playing in the water. So he was making a lot of noise and splashing his arms and making the water. When he jumped into the lake, the Jamuna waters flooded out. So the cowherd boys just ran, you know, afraid of it. And so they stayed a little out. So this was all going on. And so Krishna, yeah, so he splashed and making Kaliya very curious of what is going on here. This is my domain. I am quiet here living with my family. So I'm going to find out what's going on. So Kaliya got Kaliya's attention. Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, the Brajavasis were seeing all kinds of omens, so inauspicious omens. And so the earth trembled, and the man's left side trembled, and the women's right side trembles. Those are all cues that nature gives for inauspiciousness. And also the winds were hauling, and the sun was muted. It's like there was a cloud in the sun, but the sun is muted. So those are inauspicious signs. And when Nanda Maharaj and the Rajavasis, they saw these inauspicious signs, they said, you know, something is going on because Balaram didn't go with Krishna. We got to go find him. So they went. Everybody go looking for Krishna. So they were following Krishna's footprints in the forest. And when they get to the place, Kaliya is already wrapped Krishna in his coils. So they saw, the vision that they saw when they got to the Jamuna was that huge serpent, black, ugly serpent, in coiling Krishna, that beautiful boy, just looking lifeless in the coils. So Krishna allowed the Brajavasis to see this, to intensify their love. So when they saw that, they just became overwhelmed with emotions. And so all those emotion of love, Krishna likes to entice in the devotees. And but then, Balaram spoke. And Balaram spoke with assertiveness. And there's a beautiful way that Balaram speaks here. Okay. There. So Balaram said, so Balaram told the Brajavasis, they were like, you know, Mother Yashoda was down on the ground, she just, you know, fainting, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys, everybody was in their ends, wits ends. So Balaram said, you are unaware of the magnitude of my younger brother's valor, which always increases the joy of others. I am the only one who knows the extent of his transcendental identity. Among the greatest demigods, who can understand even a fraction of his opulence? Please be steady in your intelligence. And there's one more paragraph. For the lion like Krishna, it is a paltry achievement to subdue the demon Kaliya, just as the wind cannot conquer a mountain, or as darkness can never cover the sun, or as a clump of reeds can never extinguish a raging forest fire. Similarly, Krishna, who wears Makara earrings, is not the least bit afraid of this teeny water snake. Therefore, give up your grief. Any moment now, my brother will finish this lowly snake and come out of the water. You can have completely confidence in my words. So saying this, you know, Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that he is time. So time I am, you know, devourer of everything. And and controlling time, he also controls timing. And by that, I mean that, you know, at the exact time that Balaram addressed the Brajavasis in this way, Krishna came to life. So it was like, oh, by magic. And so Krishna started moving and taking charge of the situation, not wanting the Brajavasis to suffer anymore. So impeccable timing. There's another quote here that is gorgeous. Yes. And this is described by in poetic form. Therefore, to remove the acute distress of his father, mother, and other relatives, Krishna decided to free himself from the serpent the moment Balaram, who glowed like pure moonlight, finished speaking. Unwrapped in the thick coils of that black snake, Krishna looked exquisite and striking as the full moon, embraced by a branch of a dark tree. Releasing himself from Kaliya's clutches, Krishna lifted his lotus face and cast a blissful smile towards the Brajavasis. And then, you know, Krishna put on a show, dancing on Kaliya's head, and the show lasted for 2 hours. So the Brajavasis were there watching Krishna dance on Kaliya's head for 2 hours and seeing over and over, this is from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, over and over, Kaliya's strength, his prana, life just diminishing, getting more and more tired. So by the end of 2 hours, he was finished. That's when, you know, the Nagapatnis come to see what they can do to rescue their husband from impending death. So now we're going to start with a verse. So the Nagapatnis, I have it here. So the qualities, so they start offering prayers describing the qualities of Krishna. And the first thing they describe is the absolute truth. They address him, you're the absolute truth. Meaning, like, you know, who is the person who's the absolute truth? Is the one without a second. Is the Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, all three aspects of divinity is within him. And he's beyond the three modes of nature. And so they addressed him in this mode, you know, glorifying him as the supreme being of all the absolute truth. And then they also said, the reservoir of all transcendental consciousness. Now, consciousness, the transcendental consciousness, we have to see from my what came to my mind was that we're always trying to be conscious living, have a conscious living. And especially now, nowadays, even people that are not devotees, they're starting to get more conscious of when they go to the supermarket because they have to see, is this GMO or not? And because it's affecting their lives, even if, you know, they're not concerned about spiritual matters. Even in a material level of living, it's bringing this, it's bringing more and more consciousness to the daily life of in this country. And I see, and you know, I teach yoga in Gainesville and Lacho, and I see more and more people come to practice yoga so they can have more focus and be more conscious of their living. And so this conscious idea of living consciously is being brought up in society. You know, it's starting to come to life. Maybe it's the dawn of a of consciousness of the golden avatar time. And so consciousness, how can we explain consciousness, you know, to people that don't understand, you know, what consciousness is? And we can always say, Prabhupada used to say, and what's the difference between the dead body and a live body? And it's that spiritual spark, and that is consciousness. So that's a how you gauge what is consciousness. Looking at all the parts are there, you know, the liver and the heart and the brain, but nothing works. Something is missing. So the missing part is the soul, is the consciousness. And so Krishna is the transcendental consciousness. He not only knows how I feel or how you feel, he knows how everyone feels, including the plants and the insects and the reptiles and people in this universe and people in other universes. He's conscious of everything that goes on everywhere. That's transcendental consciousness, and only him has that. And so they addressed him like this because the Nagapatnis, they were very knowledgeable. They were they knew all, you know, the science of transcendental living. They knew who Krishna was. They could address him in this way. So they were very knowledgeable, and it was in classes past. It was said that they were Vaishnavas. So that's a great thing. And so Krishna is this transcendental consciousness, and they also address him as the possessor of unlimited energies. And this unlimited energies, so this the unlimited energy was a. I looked up, and what I could see here is that Ananta Shakti, he's the reservoir of unlimited potencies, and Purna Shaktiman, the complete possessor of energy. He's the summum bonum, and Ananta Shaktaye from the verse is the possessor of unlimited potencies. So unlimited energies, Krishna, he expands himself, you know, into Radharani. He expands himself as Balaram. And from there, everything else starts coming. So he has all these potencies, all these energies, but he doesn't have to actually do anything because he is the Supreme Lord. He just wishes it. He thinks and things are done. Things just happen because of his energies. So this is like, you know, transcendental unlimited energies. That's how our Lord is so, so powerful. And we always want to be in a winning team. And the winning team is on Krishna's side because, you know, he is the one that controls everything through his energies. And through his energies, he's aware, he's living in everyone's heart. He's aware of everything that happens with everyone through his energies. Also, he's the prime mover of material nature. So he's free from the qualities and transformations. He's the prime mover, although he, you know, from Radharani, when she her energy comes in contact with material energy, it becomes Durga becomes the shadow potency. So Radharani's shadow potency is material nature, and Krishna controls material nature. He mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamaya Duratyaya. It's his energy coming from him. And so he, being the prime mover, being the one that propels everything to move. So we have these bodies. We can see the universe. The planets are all in their own routes, and the sun is coming up, and the moon is there, the waves are on the ocean, they go with the moon. So everything is happening without, you know, there's some control is there. And looking a little closer, we can see our own bodies. Our own bodies have cells that know exactly what kind of hormones to produce at this time, and at and how the function of all the organs. And so it's a very complex universe inside our own bodies. And how this whole thing happens, you know, that's the Lord. The Lord has this the prime mover of everything. So he is the cause of all our cells to know, to talk to. He is the cause. And and so this is pretty much what I had. I had some verses also, but I am not very good with remembering the verses. So so just to recap, I would like to say that, you know, this, we talked about, you know, Kaliya and the prayers of the Nagapatnis, and the glories of Krishna's eternal form. He is a glorious, glorious person that we can love, and we can have our focus of devotion. And he very kindly appeared as the deity form. And this morning, the way Krishna, not Shyamasundara, but Krishna was dressed, it was, we could see the very thin waist, and that reminded me of the descriptions of Kavi Karnapur, just saying how Krishna was a so slender waist and showing his youth. So this is what I had prepared for today. Let's see. Yeah. All right. So thank you all for allowing me to just say a little bit about this pastime. And I welcome any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu? Thank you. Yes. Yes, yes, please take the mic.
How, I was asking how
How old was Krishna? He was probably around 5, 6. You know, but at that stage in creation, they were bigger. Now, there was that one story in a CC that that one of the gopas, he was sleeping in a cave, and then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda woke him up, and he didn't recognize Lord Nityananda because, you know, Lord Nityananda was like short and he wasn't Balaram, and then Lord Nityananda put his toe on his toe and brought him back to Abhiram. Abhiram Rao?
Abhiram
Thakur. Abhiram Thakur. So yeah, he was a cowherd boy. So, you know, he was much taller than, you know, at the 500 years ago. So you're 5 years old, but his body was bigger. Mother Lakshmi Moni? All right. Well, thank you all for listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.